WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are indeed tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Welcome aboard. Thank you so much for tuning in to this brief show this evening. As you have heard, it's been reported that there will be a political forum starting at 7 o'clock, 1 hour, for the two Republican candidates for the 1st Plymouth and Norfolk District State Senate race between the incumbent Patrick O'Connor and Ronald Tudo. I think I'm saying Ron's last name correct. Of course, led by your moderator, Christine James. I will somewhere be in the mix, Charles Matheson. And it should be a good informational hour. But before that, the lead-in is your Monday Night Talk. And we have a couple of folks who are going to be joining us. We're actually going to start things off right after traffic with Fred Happel. Fred is a at-large counselor in the great town of Weymouth. And it's time to, like, get a little bit of a catch-up. Find out what's going on in the community. As you may or may not know, Weymouth is celebrating its 400th anniversary. How about that? Seems like something that everybody's doing these days. But it's warranted. So we'll talk about events that have either happened or are upcoming. If you kind of get a gaze at the budget, how is the town doing financially? Is it sound? How are they living their post-COVID lives at this particular time? At least we're all hoping that it's a post-COVID times, because who knows what's going to happen when we're all forced back inside the cooler weather. So we got a little bit of a taste of that earlier this week after such a mild heat wave. It was very interesting. And then ARPA funding. What are they doing with that money? They got any projects in the works? They got any cool projects? We know that Weymouth is on the rise, and we know that a lot of projects are ongoing. We'll talk with Fred about that. And then, here's a rhetorical question, because I'm not expecting any of you out there to actually answer it and me to be able to hear you say that. But do you know that today is National Back to School Prep Day? It's like they have a day for everything, George. George, of course, is behind the glass this evening. George, did you know that today was National Back to School Prep Day?
I did not, but you know what? It's so close to the season, the back to school, that I just wouldn't be surprised anyway.
I mean, do they have like a national get ready for Halloween Day? I mean, it's, you know.
Wouldn't that be like October 1st, right? It seems obvious, but
well,
then again.
If you're somebody who works at like a CVS or a Walgreens, it might actually be September 1st.
I was going to say that, look at the Christmas creep, as I call it. You see Christmas stuff in October.
I'm not a fan of it.
Halloween, same idea in September.
Not a fan of it, George.
Me neither.
Wait until it's upon us. Don't force it on us. Well, it so happens that, you know, folks who like to scam us, who like to take advantage of us, some of us who don't pay attention to our passwords or have security devices on, security software on our devices. We actually have an expert who's going to be joining us, Hank Schless. He is the Senior Manager of Security Solutions for Lookout. He's going to help us be prepared, because whether you know it or not, 35% of school shopping is actually done online. Who would have known? What can't you do online these days, you know? So he's going to give us tips as to be care. Make sure that we aren't one of those who are exploited by these scamsters. So definitely looking forward to that. But right now, I must turn my focus to the final traffic check of the day. Being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now Hudson, New Hampshire. And giving us that final report is none other than Renee Hamilton. Renee, how are things out there on the highways and byways?
Well, Kevin, delays are easing out, but we're still dealing with a problem on Route 24. And this report is sponsored by the Ad Council. 24 southbound is jammed through Bridgewater. We have a car fire down after 104. Stay to the left to get by that scene. But elsewhere, 24 is moving along fine. The expressway southbound's doing okay from the tunnel down through Savin Hill, but it is still tough from Squanum Street to the split. And northbound, you're just hung up from Granite Ave up past Neponset Circle, then all clear up into the tunnel. Route 3 southbound is busy from the expressway most of the way down past Union Street. After that, it's smooth sailing along the south shore. And getting off Cape 6 westbound, you're just tapping the brakes at the Sagamore Bridge. 28, that's trouble-free. Okay, dads, it's time to do the Cabbage Patch, the Running Man, or something more contemporary, the Floss. That's right, dance like a dad with your kids. Learn more at fatherhood.gov, sponsored by the Ad Council. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Renee in the WATD Traffic Center.
If this thing called civilization was going to end, I think it would have ceased during one of the two world wars. My grandparents never gave up. They worked and lived till the bitter end, which wasn't bitter at all. Actually, it was sweet. Their life was sweet. I want my life the same. I want to work, coach my kids' soccer team, go out to eat after, and then come home to my bed where I can rest my bones. Then get up and do it all again tomorrow. That's what I want, that's what I'm working for, and that is my American dream. I can't do it alone. I need you. We need each other. We're all in this together, and together we can have our American dreams. As long as we're willing to do what is necessary to survive on this marble called Earth. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts and now New Hampshire. Brennan's Smoke Shop, customers must be 21 years of age or older and proper ID is required.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right. We're back. Coming in hot. Joining us. Give us a little bit of insight. Give us an update as to what's going on in the great community of Weymouth. We have Mr. Fred Happel. Fred is, of course, a member of the town council. He's an at-large councilor, so it means that he's not just someone who has constituents calling from a section of Weymouth. They call from over, all over. Fred, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Kevin, thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How you been?
You know, it's one adventure after another. That's what life's about, isn't it? A series of adventures.
Yeah.
Let's start out. How are things going with yourself? How are things going with the great town of Weymouth?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying a nice hot summer. Unfortunately, looks like we're almost coming to an end and the kids will be back to school, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But all good things come to an end. Weymouth is doing great. We got a lot going on here. We just had a ribbon cutting for a brand new middle school that's going to be opening up in a couple weeks. Like I heard you saying prior, we celebrating Weymouth 400, so we've had a lot of events pertaining to that. And we just passed our budget. And a lot of good things going on in the town.
Let's talk budget. Let's talk. I mean, how has this year? How is this fiscal year that we're upon, you know, that is upon us now, that started on July 1st. We're into our second month here. How has this been? How has the process been this year compared to years past? Because I know for so many municipalities, you know, it's a matter of, are we going to have enough money for education? And we know that the school budget takes up, you know, its share of any community's budget. I'm going to have enough Chapter 90 money to pave that one street that hasn't been paved in eons. I mean, how has it been different this year?
Our budget this year is about $190 million. I think it's up 4% from last year. Okay. Financially, we're okay. And as I also heard you mention, the ARPA money coming from the federal government has given us some flexibility to do some of these capital improvement projects that have been sitting around for a bit, and now we're able to get some of them done. In Weymouth here, a couple of the big ones. Do you want to go through the opera while we're talking about that right now?
Let's jump right on it.
Sure. So anybody that doesn't know that the federal government in March of 2021 passed the American Rescue Plan Act, which basically gives local towns, state, county, et cetera, money to recover from any economic or public health issues that came about because of COVID-19. So Weymouth directly got almost $18 million through the ARPA, and they're also, through Norfolk County, looking at a little over 11. So we're going to end up with about $29 million, and it's given us an opportunity to, some of the things that we're spending the money on, if anybody's familiar with Columbian Square in South Weymouth, anyone from the area calls it Kamikaze Corner, because you pretty much have to close your eyes and hold your breath to get across because there's no stoplights. So that actually has already been started. They're doing some of the prep work now with the utilities, and we'll be getting signalization in there in the near future, and that is being covered by the ARPA money. We also have a project down in the Idlewell neighborhood, the Tide Mill Brook Sewer Project. There's been issues there for years of leaching into the marshes down there of sewerage. So that's going to be addressed. That's almost a $7 million project. Columbian Square is over $8 million. The mayor is we bought COVID tests during COVID. We spent about $1 million. We've done water main replacements. They put a new floor in at the Whipple Center. They actually had a mobile food pantry. So they've done a whole bunch of stuff with the money, but there's also will be money earmarked later on, projects that have not been identified yet, but that's where we stand right now of what we're using the money on.
How does this feel as an elected official to know that, longstanding issues, whether it's an intersection, whether it's, water and sewer infrastructure, whether it's, a creaky floor in a building, that there's that money that can be used, and kind of it's like that bucket list, that wish list, that if I get a couple extra dollars, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that personally. But as a community, you're able to do that. How is it feeling as an elected official to be able to do that?
It's great, because obviously we get phone calls on this all the time. I mean, specifically the sewer issue. I grew up on the other side of the marsh of that project, and saw growing up the raw sewage that would come out during rainstorms, and I've got numerous calls from some of the activists in that area. So the fact that that's going to be addressed is outstanding. Going back pre-COVID, and then when COVID came in and we went through our first budget during COVID, nobody foresaw what was going to happen. I personally was thinking the worst. I was looking at, were we going to get cut in local aid? You have your meals tax that we use and nobody's going to the restaurants. You have the lottery. Nobody's going to play Keno. Was that going to affect our local aid? So there were a lot of intangibles of how this is going to work out for us. And the way things stand now, it looks like we dodged a bullet. And, like you said, we got a little bit of money to get some of these things checked off the bucket list.
As a municipal official, and you look to, the state has finally put together and signed into law its budget, knowing that it's got close to $7 billion, the stabilization fund, and knowing that people saying that, with the high inflation creeping up, that we could see some kind of a downturn, what do you say to yourself as an elected official who's like, well, we're living pretty large at the moment, or as large as we could or can?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what they're going to do with all that extra revenue. I know that some of the elected officials were trying to get a tax break for people. I know Senator O'Connor was one of the ones pushing for that, and it didn't pass. We'll see what happens with that, what they decide to do with the money. But we don't know what the future brings either. I mean, there is talks of recession, and we don't know what's going to happen down the road.
Again, if you're just tuning in, we have Fred Happel. He is an at-large counselor in the great town of Weymouth, and we're just playing a little catch-up as to what are some of the things that are happening, and maybe even get a little peek down the road as to what's coming up, knowing that the fall is right around the corner. I can't believe it. I think I want to go back to talking about ARPA just for half a second and talking about money spent. How has it been decided to spend the money? I mean, is this something that there's a committee, or is this conversations with the mayor and the council? How is this going about?
So the mayor's office has been very transparent about that. They actually sent out a survey to the residents, you know, how would they like to have the money spent? And they have taken suggestions. I will say that the Tide Mill Brook project is one that came from citizens, that they had been pushing it. So, you know, kudos to them for probably getting that into the some of the money being spent. You know, they've told us, anyone in the council, if you have something that, you know, a project that you want to bring forward, that they're more than willing to listen to it.
But
as for the ARPA money itself, the mayor has, you know, he can spend it on what he wants, as long as it reaches the criteria, you know, for things that it can be spent on. And that's pretty much the only thing that the money can go to. It's either, you know, you can use it to replace lost public service revenue. You can use it to support COVID-19 health and economic replacement. You can invest in water, sewer, broadband infrastructure, and you can also use it to pay premium pay to essential workers who are performing essential work. So basically the money has to fall into one of those four criteria in order to use it.
How big of a piece of pie did Weymouth receive? And after these other projects are done, what stands to remain?
We received a very nice piece of the pie. As for things that are coming up in the future, there's a lot of stuff that has been talked about. Nothing specific. Those are the ones that we actually have in the pipeline, like the Columbian Square project. I think it's going to cost almost $9 million. That's like a two-year project. The sewage project, they're just out getting estimates and stuff. So these projects are, you know, going to take some time to do. And you know, whatever the mayor decides to do, he's done a pretty good job so far.
You know, and a lot of this residual because of COVID. You know, you had CARES Act and you got ARPA money. Let's talk COVID. You know, do you feel, as an elected official, that we are in post-COVID times in Weymouth, or do you feel that it's too soon? Let's wait and see what happens in the fall, and if we start seeing numbers creeping back up.
Well, my biggest concern with the whole COVID thing, and going back to even at the beginning, for me now to see the kids going back to school, interacting with their friends, the seniors being at the senior center, interacting. The mental health issues that, in my opinion, this has caused, and we don't know what's going to happen in the future, how bad it's going to get. I was advocating even during COVID that, you know, we needed to do something. I have two kids. My oldest son didn't have a graduation. He was part of the class of 2020. He had a virtual graduation, didn't have anything live. His freshman year of college that he would have moved in, he sat at home online. My other son went to St. Francis here in Weymouth, and he actually went to school live, and I think it made a big difference. And I know a lot of the seniors went through the same issues, you know, stuck at home. So those issues, I think, to a certain extent, outweigh some of the other issues. I mean, obviously, everybody has to be safe. We got to see how this thing goes this winter, but it seems like you know, some people are careful and some people seem to just be living post-COVID, I would say.
Yeah, again, it's you know, the thought is this is going to eventually be an endemic, and it's something that we will have to live with, and be like a flu shot and anything else. If you know, if that's your decision to get, you know, the booster, you know, everybody's different, and some folks like, no, you're not putting that in my arm, and you're not putting that in my body, and I think everybody has the right to feel the way they want to feel.
Right.
I know that I got all four shots, and if I got to take another, I got a flu shot last fall, and I plan on getting another flu shot this fall because, you know, gosh darn it, I've been feeling really good for the past 2 years, and I've, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx myself, but, you know, I've been one of the fortunate ones to, you know, experience what it's like to get COVID symptoms or even have a positive test if, you know, it comes down to that.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've had the vaccinations. Not sure if I've had it. I never popped positive.
Yep.
When this thing broke out, I don't even know what year it was. That was it 2019 or 2020?
2020.
January 2020, my wife and I got real sick. We were down in Florida and we came back. And we thought maybe we got it, you know, before it became a big thing here. Maybe we got it down there from somebody. But other than that, I think, knock on wood, I've been pretty lucky. But, you know, people need to be careful, especially, you know, if you have a problem with your immune system or something. I mean, I know people that have passed from it. I know people that got real sick from it. You know, it's nothing to joke about, but you have to weigh, you know, being safe. And I think the mental health issue also is something that we got to make sure we look at. I mean, my wife is a school teacher, and when the kids came back, she had kids that had never been in a classroom before. I mean, in that those young years where, you know, they're developing their social skills and that type of thing, there's a big difference between being in a classroom with your friends and being at home on a screen, you know, in my opinion. And I'm glad that the kids are back at school and they're just kind of getting some normality back.
Yeah, we're speaking with Fred Happel. He is a Weymouth town councilor, playing a little catch-up as to some of the things happening in and around the community of Weymouth. Let's talk Weymouth 400 real quick. Coming up, or have all the events that were going to occur taken place?
So they had four, they called them village events. So each zip code, which is part of a village in Weymouth, which is Bicknell Square, Jackson Square, Columbian Square, and Weymouth Landing, each had, I guess you'd call it like a festival, where they had bands and food trucks and vendors and whatever. Those four, they started in May, June, July, and August. They just had the last one this past Saturday. The next event they have planned, which I believe is their last big event, is I think it's September 17th at Town Hall, and they're having some bands and same type of idea. We also have, on September 25th, we have our annual Weymouth Irish Heritage Day Parade, which I actually am the co-chair of that. And Weymouth 400 will be playing a part in that. They're going to have a division where they're going to have floats or whatever they're going to be doing. But that starts at 11 o'clock Sunday, September 25th. It runs from the Hamilton School into Columbian Square on Union Street. And then we actually have a festival after at Stella Terrell Park, which is right at the ending of the parade, where we have Irish musicians and dances and food trucks and vendors and all that good stuff. So it's a good day for the town. We get all the youth groups together, the baseball teams and the dance team and the Weymouth band, and we bring in the Boston Police Pipe Band, and it's just a good day for the community.
You know, knowing what we had to endure for 2 years, have you had a chance to go to these events, and how good is it to see people out and enjoying life free of worry of, you know, being ill?
Well, for me, being an elected official, that period where we were kind of in lockdown was like a whole different world, because that's what I'm used to, is being out and, you know, being around people. So it's been great. It's nice to see, especially these events are outside, you know, and the weather's been hot but nice. And to see people out, see the kids playing, see your neighbor, see people that you haven't seen in a while, and just watching the community get together. It's been great.
Well, again, we've just got about a minute left. Anything in closing as we wrap up this segment? And again, we thank you, Fred, for joining us.
No, I'm just happy for you to ask me to come on, and hopefully everybody will stay safe moving forward. Hopefully COVID won't get bad this winter, but we'll see what happens. But where we stand right now, it's nice to see everybody out and about, as long as they're safe, and hope to see everybody at the Weymouth Irish Heritage Day Parade on September 25th.
Yeah, just a quick note. Folks wanted to get details. Is there a website, or is there social media platforms?
Yeah, we have a Facebook site. It's Weymouth Irish Heritage Day, and all our information is on that. That's pretty much our main source, other than people on the committee sharing it and et cetera.
Well,
but that would be the main place to get it.
Well, we definitely thank you for joining us, sharing that information, and once this show is over, we are up to date with our podcast, so we'll make sure that it's something that can be shared if folks want to hear, re-listen to our conversation, especially about the Heritage Day and celebrating 400 years as a community, Weymouth.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you asking me to come on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
You got it. There he is, Fred Happel, our guest. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Plymouth County is a large area stretching from just south of Boston down to the Cape Cod Canal. I'm Alex Bazanson. Join me and my guests for countywide coverage, everything from the Mayflower Landing to the most recent town meetings, how national news affects us locally, and how things that happen in Plymouth County affect the rest of the South Shore. Tune in for All About Plymouth County, tomorrow night at 7, here on 95.9 WATD.
I'm Tiny of Tiny Sons Glass. If you're driving along right now and you've got an angry little ding in your windshield,
ouch!
But good news, we can fix that ding. We'll fix that ding before it spreads. Drive on over to Tiny & Sons, Route 53, Pembroke. We will fix that ding. Your insurance company will pay.
And that's why I sing, gimme that ding.
So gimme that ding. Tiny & Sons Glass will fix that ding. Insurance company will pay.
That's right.
My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
All right. We are back, and we are awaiting a call from Hank Schless, Senior Manager of Security Solutions at Lookout. He should be joining us in half a second, but I just want to take a moment to say hello to Benny Rabbi.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you? We're just waiting to make sure we... There we go.
Take two.
Take
always
two.
Better.
How goes the battle at our sister station?
It goes well. Goes very well, Kevin. Thank you for asking, and... you know, it's amazing how fast radio can fly throughout the day, but it's really great to be here with you. I feel like it's been a hot minute since I've gotten to join you on this show.
If you'd like, you can actually join me. You can join me for this segment. We actually have a gentleman named Hank Schless who's going to be joining us in half a second.
Sure. And
did you know that today was National Back to School Prep Day? Did you know that?
There's a National School Prep Day?
I think there's a day for everything.
I mean, the teachers deserve it, quite frankly. They need as much time as they can possibly get to prepare for these children.
Yeah, but I think it's more so the parents getting ready to send the little cherubs back to school.
Absolutely. Can never have enough time for that.
But here's the thing. Lurking in the dark, especially online, those who are looking to get our information. Mm. And Hank is joining us. Hank is a senior manager of security solutions at Lookout. And we're going to chat with him about some of the things. And you can help me kind of chat with Hank about what we could do to keep ourselves safe. What do you say?
Yeah, well, there's always time for safety, Kevin, whether that be right here in the real world or especially in the digital world and online. You can never be too safe.
So we do welcome Hank Schless. Hank, am I saying your last name right, Schless?
You are. You're doing a great job with it, because I'll tell you what, people can really butcher it sometimes, so I appreciate that.
I'm just letting it flow, Hank.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
If you could, just kind of a quick footnote, tell us a little bit about your company, Lookout. What is it that you guys specialize in?
So Lookout specializes in protecting people's identities and data online on the consumer side, and then for enterprise organizations, we actually secure mobile devices as well as more modern cloud infrastructure and the really sensitive data that's being stored up there. So really, when it comes down to it, whether it's a consumer or, you know, one of the largest enterprises in the Boston area, we're all about just protecting people's data.
So we have you on to tell us a little bit about how we can best protect ourselves if we are out there shopping online. You know what? It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, getting our kids ready to go back to school and do a prep. But I think in just a general life, if we're online, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The fact is that, you know, the malicious actors behind these scams really are just sort of reformatting the same, you know, good deal scams that they already use, right? We get these emails and text messages and messages on social media all the time mm-hmm. saying, hey, we'll give you 85% off this or that. And, you know, in the time of when school's starting, you know, textbooks are expensive. You know, school clothes are expensive. Things are expensive. So, you know, parents may be looking for a deal wherever they can get it, and the attackers know that and take advantage of it.
That's exactly the ploy that they go for. And I'm sure you can tell us a little bit more about the various approaches, because tactics have changed, of course, since our parents.
They've evolved.
That's probably a better term to go with, yeah. You can get the baby boomer generation a little bit easier than you can these young whippersnappers nowadays, but parents are out there in full force looking for these kinds of scams. You have any good examples of how that evolution has occurred and what they're looking at nowadays?
Well, you know, you hit it right, you know, hit the nail right on the head, right? For the kids that have grown up with cell phones in their hands, it's pretty easy for them to, or it's maybe easier for them to spot something that's a little sketchy versus somebody who's relatively new to shopping online or just looking for deals. So, you know, way back when, you know, you think about it, even the earliest phishing scams were, you know, it was back in like the Bush-Kerry campaign, you know, presidential election, when, you know, someone built a fake phishing site or a fake donation site for John Kerry's campaign, and that was one of the first real examples of what we call social engineering, where somebody pretended to be someone else online in order to convince people to do something, in this case, give them money. And, you know, nowadays it's just evolved where people, you know, these same threat actors are using, you know, social media, or they're able to create really, really convincing looking websites, or even just convincing URLs and you know, making themselves appear to be reputable and trustworthy online, to the point where you might be willing to, you know, give them your credit card number in order to get, you know, a really good deal on back to school stuff, or to our point earlier, really anything.
So I would ask, is our passwords, how important mm-hmm. is your password?
Your password is critically important these days. And, you know, the really important thing that I tell people is that you can't reuse the same password over, and even if you reuse the same three or four passwords, because what happens is that if someone is able to get one username and password that works as a combination, what they do is that they then turn around and they run these automated programs that try it across tens of thousands of websites, and then all of a sudden they may find, you know, that even if you reuse four of your passwords, they now have access to one in four of your accounts if they have one set that works. So, you know, the key there is to really just, you know, create complex passwords. And personally, I always use the password manager. It's something that creates complex passwords for me and then also stores them. So I actually don't know the password things like my Gmail or my bank account or whatever it is, and I can use that on my various devices to log in. But, you know, the other thing too is, you know, protect yourself in the first place, right? Protecting yourself from these phishing attacks and places that, you know, these websites that are built for malicious intent, that's one of the biggest things Lookout specializes in, is we have this massive data set of these malicious websites that have been used in the past and are being used now, and we can actually identify them and protect our customers before the website's even fully built and deployed, so we can really get ahead of the attackers.
Again, if you're just tuning in, you are tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we do have a political forum. Candidates, Republican candidates for the 1st Plymouth and Norfolk District, the State Senate District, Patrick O'Connor and Ronald Petuto will be the individuals who will be part of this political forum. So stay tuned for that. And again, Hank Schless, Senior Manager of Security Solutions for Lookout, is our guest, and Ben Rabbi is here, joining me, sitting in on this particular segment. Ben, I think you had a question.
I did. Very impromptu. That's the best way to do live radio, yes. Kevin. That's what makes it live and local all the time. Hank, I had a quick question for you, since you brought up the importance of the password and username combo, and of course, the classic phishing sites, they've gotten very advanced as to making it look like what you're actually looking for. Mm-hmm. So what would you say, I mean, let's say you're out there, you're shopping for back-to-school supplies. All of a sudden, you get that email in your account. It says, hey, discount supplies, click here, put in your username for staples.com, whatever it might be, and claim your discount. Would you say to someone it's now okay to follow those kinds of links, or would you say that looks like a good idea, but I'm actually going to go to a whole other browser. I'm going to go to the website for the deal that was advertised, and I'm going to go find it manually. Which one of those options would you say is best nowadays?
I would say absolutely the second. You know, give me door two on that one, man. That's the too good to be true deal. You know, maybe it is. Maybe, hey, you know, maybe Staples is having a flash sale. But let me tell you, it's worth taking the extra 30 seconds to open a new browser window, go to staples.com and look for it yourself. And at the same time, you know, if you do mistakenly click that link, there will be some sort of some giveaway. They're hard to spot, but, you know, maybe the Staples logo, you know, maybe the E has the bent staple instead of the L, or, you know, there's always something so minute. Exactly. And so the best thing to do is just, if it feels too good to be true, just take a second, take a look, take the safe route, add the extra 30 seconds to the process, because let me tell you, it takes a whole lot longer than 30 seconds to recover your identity.
So I wasn't expecting this to be a 2-on-1, let alone a 3-on-1, Hank, but this is an interesting topic, and I think a lot of people are concerned. Yep. My producer, George, who does a great job, as did Ben when he was once a producer here, George actually has a question. Go ahead, George.
Not so much a question, it's a comment. I've just noticed from emails that you might get an email from, say, Walmart, and I want to give advice about that if you have an iCloud account, or maybe it's Gmail too, you can actually look at the recipient, or the sender rather in this case, and click on the sender to see what the address is, because if it has a lot of letters and numbers, it's probably a scam.
Yeah, George, you're spot on, man. I'm glad you added that, because that's another one of the big giveaways, is just look at who sent it in the first place. You know, again, one of these things where you take an extra few seconds and just make sure it's coming from, from Walmart, and not walmart-support-us.com or, you know, whatever it may be. Like, you know, anyone can create an at URL, you know, at whatever.com. But again, make sure that it matches maybe other emails you've gotten from Walmart or something like that. But you're absolutely spot on. That's a great, great place to look.
Well, staying with passwords, you know, you talk about having a strong password. How important is it to try a two-factor authentication when it comes to having somebody, you know, to sign in?
So the great thing is about two-factor authentication, or sometimes called multi-factor authentication, mm-hmm. or MFA, is that it's actually most every financial institution, healthcare platform, whatever it may be, anyone who has, you know, private information about their customers has that as an option to turn on, and many of them actually require it. And even if it's something where it's an option and you think, well, again, I don't really want to take the extra 10 seconds it takes for me to receive a code on a text message and then type that in, you should enable it. Again, it's just, you should just do it. Just do it for everything. Use it as your blanket best practice. And again, it saves the few extra seconds you get that you may lose to waiting for that text message is worth the what could be paying on the other end of it.
Absolutely. And Hank, just one more thing I wanted to throw in here as well. I actually learned this from my younger nephew, who I won't say how younger he is than me because I don't want to embarrass myself, but we were talking about the risks of email, and you know, he's getting to that age now where he's finally got his own. They grow up so fast, I tell you. But he was telling me all of his friends have 4 or 5 different emails. One of them is for serious things that he trusts. One of them is for things he absolutely does not trust.
That's slick.
And the other two are various other options. Is that something that your average American should be doing right now, especially the older folks who are operating on one email premises at this point?
AOL.com, Hotmail.com.
I have one, too.
I mean, does your nephew want a job? Because it sounds like he's got some great scary ideas. Right.
He is a bright kid, I'll give you that.
Yeah, well, you know, they are. Those Boston area kids are pretty smart, I'll tell you. So, yeah, I mean, look, that's something that, you know, personally, I haven't really heard. I know that, you know, growing up, you know, I'm a millennial. Like, growing up, I definitely had, like, a junk email account and a regular email account. I mean, look, if it's something, I think that my advice there would be that if you're signing up for something where you feel the need to use an email account that, like, in case it's something that's not trustworthy or could do you harm, you probably shouldn't be signing up for that thing in the first place. But, you know, people do have, yeah, people have junk email addresses. You know, I definitely do. I'm pretty sure my dad uses his old, you know, Optimum Online account for all his junk now, and he switched over to Gmail. And I mean, hey, it could be a way to spread out kind of the, kind of spread things out a little bit and not make it a one, you know, make yourself a one single target. But you know, honestly, that'd be an interesting thing to look into.
So, Hank, because we got like 2 minutes left before we wrap up the segment, but I think it's worth at least also mentioning security software, placing it on your devices, the importance and what's out there these days for options.
Well, so I'm obviously a little bit biased, you know,
yes,
being at Lookout. yeah, we're all honest here. You know, like you said, it's real talk radio, so you know, we're all gonna be transparent here. So you know, look, the fact is that regardless of what you choose to use, we all know that we have to put antivirus on our computers, right? We all know we have to do that. Why would we not do the exact same thing on our smartphones and our tablets when these days they arguably have more access to private and sensitive information than our computers do? You think about the number of apps we have on our phones and how much sensitive stuff you can access. You know, because it's not just the risk of somebody phishing your credentials. It's, you know, the possibility of someone delivering a malicious application to your device that you download. It's the possibility of connecting to a Wi-Fi network that's actually somebody sitting in their car outside of Starbucks routing all your traffic through it. And these things sound, you know, I think to the everyday kind of person, you think, well, that's never going to happen to me. But the fact is that it does. And there's a lot of information on these devices. So, you know, when you go out, obviously do your own evaluation of what you think is best. You know, Lookout is on both the iOS App Store and the Google Play Store. And, you know, we, on the consumer side, we protect you against phishing. We protect you against device compromise and malicious network connections. We also alert you if your identity or any of your private information is found on the dark web, and provide insurance for if your identity gets stolen. So, you know, it's one of those things where, like I said, just like we always had security software on our computers, we should be doing the exact same thing for our smartphones and our tablets, because they really are just an extension of ourselves.
He is Hank Schless, Senior Manager of Security Solutions at Lookout. Hank, thank you so much for being our guest and providing valuable information for those 35% of those folks who are out there shopping on National Back-to-School Prep Day.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great night.
You got it. And you know what's funny is that's all the radio program we have for you. Every last drop is gone until next week at 6:15 p.m. Please have yourself a great evening. Up next, Political Forum. Stay tuned.